Welcome to Unfiltered Studios, your one-stop destination for a diverse range of podcasts that cater to every interest. Join St. Joe on Nailed It as he explores the fascinating times of the 80s and 90s. Find solace in the advice of a mother on Petals of Support. Dive deep into intriguing interviews on The Sleevey G Show. Catch up with the latest in sports on Unfiltered Sports Weekly. Connect with your spiritual side on Finding Your Way. Achieve mental wellness with hypno-wellness. Never forget the history of everyday items with the Stupid History Minute. Understand how we've become the people we are today on How to Be Less of an Asshole, and gather with fellow movie enthusiasts on Movie Lovers Unite. Your journey into the world of podcasts begins here at Unfiltered Studios. Subscribe now and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com for more information.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. This is our intermission episode. Think of this as our way of going down the road with you on this Wednesday morning, and we're talking to you about Saw. And what better way to talk about this movie than in the morning time? When you are getting ready to go for work, and this is also basically waiting in line, talk to your friend about movies, music, anything that comes to mind, and just have a good time just relaxing on the road and everything as you're going into work or whatever you're doing about your day. So without further ado, let's go on ahead, let's get on with the show, and happy hump day! Okay. And hey Ross, how are you?
Hello, John. How are you doing? I'm good. Thank you. What's up, guys?
I'm really doing good on this hump day. I'm doing really good.
right.
But yeah, I'm doing really good. But yeah, I just want to say this. I really enjoyed Saw X.
Yes.
And this is actually the 10th installment of the Saw franchise. Tobin Bell comes back again. He's in Mexico this time because of the fact they think they found a cure for him. And, of course, he winds up going down to Mexico to try and get that cure for his brain tumor, for his cancer. And then he winds up finding out that he's been duped. And then here comes Jigsaw back again. So we're not going to go scene by scene, by the way, guys. We're just going to go ahead to talk, have a normal conversation. So just sit back and relax. Right. So what did you think about – I know that you love the trailer, and I know I love the trailer as well.
Yes.
But I have to say, I really enjoyed the whole entire idea of, oh, they found a cure for him. This is good for him. I was like, I was rooting for him. Then part of my mind is like this, wait, he had brain surgery in one of the Saw movies. I'm like, did he fake his death? But then I'm thinking again, well, how could he fake his death when they basically went through his brain? So my mind is going a mile a minute whenever I'm thinking about this.
Right.
But I'm just rooting for him because, like, oh my God, he found a cure. He found somebody. And then especially whenever we have that one guy that shows up, Henry, who's actually been in part of the chemo treatments with John.
Right.
And he goes, man, you look fantastic. What happened? He goes, I found this experiment thing that's going on. And they travel around and because it's so undercover, the FDA hasn't even approved it. Right. But I'll let you go ahead and talk about a little bit more about the detail.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was, at first I thought it was a prequel because I remember him getting the brain surgery when, you know, you realize he's dying. So I was like, is this a prequel, you know, and they're telling us basically what happened before, you know, all of that. So wasn't sure, but regardless, I like the fact that you get to know him a little bit better, you know, John, I think his name is John.
Yeah.
You get to know John a little bit better. You get to see the human side of him. And you also, you know, realize that he's kind of like this Robin Hood type of character where, you know, he's for the you know, take from the rich, give to the poor. But in the sense of, you know, he's protecting those that can't protect themselves. Like, he's going after people that are stealing from, like, for instance, the guy in Mexico when you see the first puzzle that the guy has to do. And it was a guy that was an orderly working in a home, and he stole money from one of the patients or something. And so, go ahead.
Yeah, that was actually at the chemo hospital, because he was going through his mind at that time.
Yeah, too, right.
Where he was like, he's thinking of these the eye socket trap.
Yes, which right, I'm like,
oh, God. And he's also breaking his fingers at the same time.
Right.
I thought that was really incredible on the way they actually shot it. It made me hurt. And
yeah, absolutely.
I didn't even want to pop my knuckles after that.
Right. But you get the sense that John, you know, he's not, despite the things he does, there's a reason why he's doing it. You know, he does feel like he's trying to protect or make society better and make people better, you
for
know?
Sure.
So, and also just the fact that he does meet, the guy that, you know, he's like, you know, how are you doing? And he sees that he's doing great because they were in those groups together. The chemotherapy groups where, you know, you're going to die. So you're with other people that are dealing with the same thing. And when you find out that there's a possible cure, you know, and he's so excited, you know, to go and get this experiment done on him because he sees how well Henry's doing. And you do see Henry, you know, at those groups and how he did look and how just, you know, the loss for hope that they both had. And then, you know, seeing Henry and be like, wow, what happened? So, yeah.
I definitely like that. And, you know, you can definitely tell that he's down on his luck. He's like, either I die or I choose living.
Right.
And so he calls up the person in charge of this whole entire experiment. And a matter of fact, that's the character's name is Cecilia. And Cecilia goes, yeah, my father did surgery on other people. This is a special cocktail just for him. That for certain cancer patients.
Right.
And for you, though, it's going to be a special kind of treatment than what we do with other people because yours is such a difficult one to perform, basically.
Right.
So
because he was not, he didn't have, you know, with this experiment, remember, you're supposed to have, there's months that you have. So they had him scheduled to come in like 4 or 5 months from, you know, the date that he got in contact with her. And when she realizes, you know, because of his response, basically, you don't have that long. I mean, John has weeks, possibly weeks to live. So it was like, we have to get him in here. Exactly. So he had to get going.
And on top of that, though, you go inside the mansion that they have. Everything is set up. You meet Gabriella. Gabriella lets him come in. And, you know, it has that whole entire Mexico kind of flavor to it.
Right.
And things like that. And I definitely like how it sets up. And then you get into that whole entire deal of how they have the surgery set up. Then you see the other guy coming out.
Yeah.
He goes, good luck, man. Good luck on this. You got this.
Right.
And he goes, thank you. Thank you so much. And next thing you know it, they wind up doing the surgery and they wind up prepping him for surgery. Hey, look, you're going to be in and out of consciousness and stuff like that. And of course you have Diego who winds up doing the surgery on him. And you wind up finding out the way they do it is just so brilliantly done because there's certain things that they blur out on purpose to give you the illusion that everything is going to be fine.
Right.
And then once they wind up stiffing John, and I'll let you talk about that, and then I'll go into my thought process on this.
Right.
But I just thought it was executed brilliantly about how everything was shot. They did the whole entire brain tumor thing and everything perfectly well done. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I was excited when he met Cecilia. You know, I was excited about that. You know, oh my gosh, like this, because you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what if this is a trap? But then it's like, no, why would they do that? You know, why would they? Everything checked out. So when he goes over there and you see how well he's going to be taken, like John says, the surgery, how everything looks. I mean, you're seeing them work on his brain. You know, because you're seeing the monitors that's up there. So everything is panning out, you know. He gets out of surgery, he's wrapped up, he's doing well. She comes in and lets him know, you did great, you did a really good job. And basically, like it's out, it's over. We got it, you know. And now she's like, you know, he's in recovery, you know, in outpatient basically recovery. And he's excited because he's going to live. Like, this is it. He can go and have the life that Henry has. Unfortunately, it doesn't go that way because he starts to notice things. And I can't remember, John, what's the first thing that made him question it. What was it?
Okay, so I also want to say this. This is another thing I like about John's character, is how charismatic he is, in a sense, to the point where he's actually checking his own self, examining his own self, basically.
Right.
And being self-aware of who he once was. He was actually going to do some upgrades, it looks like, with the bear trap. And then he winds up saying, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore. And I like the little dark humors he has in this, though, too. There's a lot of dark humor. Because what do you do? Do you do self-help?
Oh, that's right.
Something like that. Yeah. But no, you were wondering about how he started noticing.
Yeah, because he starts to notice. You start to notice things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. One thing that happened. That's right. He goes back to the place where he got the surgery done. Everything's gone.
Yeah,
there
because
is
remember,
no.
Everyone's
gone. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go on ahead.
No. I'm saying just everything's gone. Nothing's there. Okay. It's kind of like, you know, those, you know, 800, you know, those back in the day when you have the call rooms. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be real. And they take all your money. You go back to the building and everything's gone. The only thing that's left is like the telephone on the floor. It's kind of like that. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, I think he got God. And then he goes and starts looking at himself and taking that wrapping off, and nothing's been done. His head has not been shaved. You know, he reflects back at everything else. And it was actually, what was it, a videotape, or it wasn't a real...
It was like a how-to video on how to do brain surgery for tumors is what it was.
Right.
And the funny... Okay, so I messed up on the character's name. His name is not Diego. Diego was actually the cab driver. Mato was actually the doctor's name. But if it wasn't for him getting the bottle of tequila, he would have been going and trying to give that to Gabriella as a gift, or Cecilia.
That's right.
He would have been
Gabriella.
Gone.
It was Gabriella. Because Gabriella is this young girl that worked at the hospital. And you guys can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes. That works at the hospital. And just the sweetest, kindest young lady. And so he there's a bond that he has with her immediately. And so you know, there you give each other, you know, bottles of tequila. So to thank her for, you know, just how kind she was to him, he goes and he has this bottle of tequila, and therefore he's going to look for Gabrielle, which leads him to the hospital and all of that, and everything's gone.
Whenever I see, at first I'm looking at his wrappings, even whenever he's in the wine shop.
Right.
I'm like, those bandages are way too clean.
I thought that too.
I said, something is up.
But I didn't catch it right away. Like when he came out of surgery, I didn't catch it right away. I didn't catch that the bandages were just so clean. I did not catch that. And they were.
Right. Because I thought you would have to change out the gauze, the bandages, and stuff like that every so often.
Right.
So that was my first initial thought. So I went straight to the bandage. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe he cleaned it up before going over there. Okay. But then you get into the whole entire thing. Oh, crap. They didn't even do anything to him. They just took his money and left and dodged. And then and I was pissed off with them, too. I was just pissed off.
Yeah, me too. I was, too. I was so angry.
And so now Jigsaw is back.
Yes.
He takes the cab driver that drops him off. He winds up taking now this is another thing that he does is he has he winds up duct taping two scalpels to his hands while also having two explosive devices strapped to his inside his arms.
Right.
And John says it, in order for you to get out, you have to cut away through the cancer.
Right.
And in order to survive. And so that whole scene, I was intense. It was very intense for me.
Yeah.
I thought the traps were, this reminds me of Saw 1, just on how they did things.
Yeah, I really, so the deal is this, like the fact that, okay, so he got God. He knows he's got God. So now he's got to go find all these people who got him. So that's what he does. He goes and tries to find all of them. But the traps that they have in this one, I really was like, you think they've done it all. You know, you think they've done every trap. There's like, what else can you surprise us with? You know, what else can you do? And that where he's telling him to cut the cancer out, isn't that the one where he has to do the brain surgery on himself? Or is that the one where he has to cut his
His arms.
His arms, okay.
Yeah, the brain surgery one is through Mato, yes, or whatever his name
right,
is.
Right.
And that's whenever the statue comes and slams on his face, which I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that yeah, was absolutely intense. The poor Gabrielle, I do, when they get back to the warehouse where you end up seeing, because John makes a phone call and then we bring back in Amanda. She's back. And so she's still with John, helping John. And you also get their relationship, how that's like a father to her. Like that's her mentor. Like life without John for her is just, it does not exist. So she's even more pissed at the fact of he didn't get this surgery. Like he's not well. They took him. So she's really upset. But her interaction with Gabrielle, because she sees herself in Gabrielle, because Gabrielle's issue is she's a drug user. She uses drugs, and that's her problem. So Amanda sees herself in Gabrielle. Did you think that Amanda was going to kind of, you know, go against John to help Gabrielle? Because I was thinking that.
For the first time that I ever seen Amanda, that's the first time that I ever seen her be soft on a victim.
Yes.
Because usually she's the one who was quickly to kill someone. Yeah.
Yes.
And she's so sure of herself.
Right.
But because of the fact that she's a drug addict and if it wasn't for John saving her.
Right.
Or anything, she would have been still doing what Gabriella was doing.
Absolutely.
So I like it how she puts it like this. She goes, shut the fuck up.
Right.
And I'll get you out of this, but you have to shut up.
Right.
So I think that she understood the balance a little bit. I think she would have, but she also knows that she has to go through this trial. Yeah. And I know that she knew that John wasn't going to go ahead and kill her because of the fact that she's a drug addict.
Right.
That's why she's basically trying to say, well, you shut the hell up. I'm going to help you, but you have to help yourself before I can help you.
Right. And the task that they gave her, the puzzle that she got, remember, I think she
the heat radiation.
Yeah, the heat radiation. She almost made it through it. She did. She beat the puzzle. She did
make it.
She did. She beat that puzzle, which I was relieved because I'm like, awesome. She beat the puzzle. Unfortunately, you know, other things happen.
Right.
So she didn't make it out.
No, she didn't make it out because of two other people. But I do want to say this. I think that if it wasn't, because remember, the game was set up to where I think that it was supposed to be those other two people. Mm-hmm. This is a spoiler-free one. I think that the way it was going to be, I think Amanda was going to be the one who saved her and bring her to the hospital. But instead, it ended up being another different direction than what they wanted it to go.
Right. And I appreciated that. And this saw, there were so many, the story was, there was so much of a story that you didn't expect other things to happen. Like, it's so different than the other saws. When I thought it was going to go off, it didn't. More stuff ended up happening. And I just loved, I love the fact that at a point, you know, things got switched around on John. And it could have been a situation where he was going to have to play the game himself. And I was excited about that because they've never done that before. And he's never been so...
Vulnerable.
At least it looks like he's been sloppy. You know, he's been sloppy, you know, especially when the new guy shows up and he's also a victim or is supposed to be a victim of Cecilia and ends up being, you know, comes in with the gun and he's upset because he's saying that it happened to him. He had cancer. They took his money. Then you find out that, you know, he happens to be involved in this situation as well. So when he got the upper hand, I really thought that John and Amanda were sloppy. I'm like, there's no way they're going to get out of this. And it was so well played.
It was so well played out.
Really?
You know? So yeah, it was definitely well played out on the way they did that.
Yes. I like the fact that there's a guy that shows up that's supposed to have been taken by, you know, the same thing that happened to him, that happened to John, happened to him. That's what we're supposed to think. So he's there and he's pissed off.
And also too, you were saying about how sure of John was and looking he was so sloppy.
Right.
He was. And I like how he calms Amanda down and goes, look, calm down. It's going to work out. And I was thinking to myself, well, is it going to work out according how it's going to work out, or is it going to work out some other way?
Right.
So you're on that wild goose chase of how is this going to work out? How is this going to check out? Because no one has ever discovered John while he's playing the game. Exactly. He's always gone by the time somebody else is picking up the pieces.
Right. I also like, going back to when the first puzzle had happened at that warehouse. And when we finally see, the puppet come out on his tricycle. And because you're waiting for that appearance. I know I was waiting for that appearance. And so you're waiting for that appearance for him to come out on the tricycle. And just, it's kind of like, this is Saw. Now this is Saw. Besides the puzzle, you're still waiting for him to come out. So I love the way that they did that. And I, like I said, I just love the different stories that were going on and the fact that it really looked like John was being sloppy and that Amanda got soft, because she's caring about another human being, because like John said, you never see that with Amanda. I love Saw X.
Me too.
I just really love Saw X.
You know what? We need to do a whole entire Saw rewatch though. Like we did the first one, but we need to start from the second and work our way back. But okay, so Valentina was actually the first victim too.
Okay.
And that was actually the wire trap where basically it's decapitated her head.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. She had to cut her thighs off. Wait.
Yep.
Yeah. That one was just because she almost made it too. She almost beat the game. And then at the last freaking second, the blood didn't fill up enough and it's gone. And that was just brutal.
It was.
That was absolutely brutal, but absolutely cool.
Then you have, I'm just going to go through the traps too. Mm-hmm. So that way we can, we have the brain surgery trap that we mentioned.
Oh my gosh. What
agony. And I thought it was the perfect, I'm going to be real with you, Rossi. I thought that was actually the perfect example of an eye for an eye kind of thing. Okay. Oh, so absolutely. Since you're going to pretend to do a brain surgery on me.
Yes.
Well, guess what, buddy? You're going to do it on yourself. And then you're going to tell me how good of a doctor you actually are.
Oh my gosh. When I that one, I mean, I can handle horror films and I can handle gore, but at that part, I was like covering my eyes a little bit. Cause it's just, it's so realistic that you can feel someone messing with your own brain. Like you can feel how it must feel for him to be tinkering with his brain. And so that puzzle was just the first one that I have to say, I kind of was like, hands over face. Cause it was just, oh God.
I'll be real with you. I can handle anything, but when you're going into somebody else's skull like that, I cannot. I don't know. I don't know what it is about me when it comes down to stuff like that. I guess because of how real it looks and the sound effects that they use for it. The sound mixing for it is just outstanding.
Right.
But it's just something about it that makes me like purl a little bit. It's like I'm closing my eyes too. So you're not the only one. I'm like...
Yeah, it's like you said, it's something about messing with your brain and the fact that he had to take enough samples out and put them in the little container. And it's like, this guy did John dirty. You know that. But in a way, you're like, get it done. Get the pieces in there so you can, so you won't die. You're kind of rooting for them as well. But I love all the different puzzles that they have. But the next one, John.
So the last trap is going to be the blood boarding trap.
Oh, the blood boarding, yes.
And I'm not going to say who the other character is that was with John for this one, but I believe this is actually the scales, like tipping the scales on who is going to go on ahead and live or die.
Right.
And trying to choose choose who it is in that choice and who that choice is going to be.
Right. Yeah,
that's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you like watching it, and you see that scene, you know who's going to make sure that the scales is tipped in, one way because of who the other person is. But that one was just, I felt sorry for that other person in that scene on that puzzle because, gosh, that was just brutal. It wasn't going to stop.
No, it wasn't. Not until someone died.
Yes.
That was the whole entire purpose of that puzzle.
Yes, definitely.
And it's about sacrifice, too.
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to sacrifice themselves for the greater good?
Right.
Is what it lands down to. Right. And if you're going to die for somebody because you care about that person.
Right.
And that's all I'm going to say about how that.
Yeah, I want to say something so bad. So I'm like, I'm just going to agree because I don't want to say anything else. I don't want to give
this
it up.
This will be for next year. All right. But, okay. So another thing I want to do is this. Okay. Cecilia gave him false hope.
Yes.
And I think that's like the lowest thing that you can give somebody is false hope.
Especially when they're fighting for their life and they've been going through this chemotherapy, which I to understand is the most agonizing thing that you can go through, you know, or dialysis, you know.
Yep.
And so for someone to think that there is an actual cure and that you see someone who it's happy and that's another thing. I wasn't sure if Henry was part of it as well. I was like, was he going there looking for a patient to kind of for them to scam, you know, because, you know, wasn't quite sure until, you know, as you watch the film and I finally was like, no, I don't think he had anything to do with it, you know, because
no,
you don't see him anymore. But yeah, to take hope away from someone, you know, and he really thought this was it and you're happy for him. But it was pretty bad.
I think so too. And you know, the whole thing with Henry, whenever he shows a scar, because you can definitely tell that they did surgery on him.
Yes.
It says, okay, so part of me is like, did they just open this guy up and just didn't do surgery on him? And just pumped him up with false hope and then he dies?
I think that's how you have to look at it. I mean, because you figure that, okay, they didn't just lie to John. This is a scam. This is what they do. And they go, you know, they go after people like this who are willing to take a chance at what else they have to lose. So I'm thinking that with Henry, he did have a scar, but they had to have opened them up and then closed them back up. And
I think with John's case,
so he's going to die.
Right. But I think with John's case though, with it being a brain surgery, something that they didn't know about or anything, and they might have some medical background on what to do. So therefore, like, well, guess what? We don't know what the hell we're doing.
Very true.
So now, what are we going to do?
Yep, that could be true too. That could have been where John was just too advanced and they didn't know what to do and how to do it. And the other guy, you know, they could do that because her father is, you know, Cecilia, her father is the doctor that discovered this treatment and who had started, you know, using this treatment. So from what I am to understand from the movie, that is real, that her father does do that. So I guess, yeah, with Henry, you know, we would like to hope that they didn't just open him up and that he you know, did get his cancer removed and he is cancer free.
Right. But all in all, this was a great movie for a 10th movie in the franchise. And it's hard to top something when you're this far in the game. Usually you fumble a little bit.
Right.
With certain ones. And yeah, there was like maybe one that I might say that was weak a little bit, but they're solid films. And I think of it as a jigsaw puzzle every single time whenever I'm solving these things. This is like a jigsaw puzzle that you're trying to solve.
Right. Yeah, I give it to them. I didn't think that, you know, that they would be able to give us this type of story. I didn't think that because, you know, when you get to X, you know, in series, usually it gets a little silly, you know, they're, you know, fishing for things to do and it's just not as good as the other ones, but they actually came back with an awesome story. I mean, it makes sense. It fits, you know, the way they brought Amanda back, you're excited about that, you know, and the traps, all the puzzles that they came up with. Like I said earlier, I didn't think that they could show us anything new. We've seen every type of death that they can give us in these puzzles. And what do you know? They come back with puzzles that are even more squeamish than the others, you know? So this was I will watch this again.
Me
because
too.
In the first time you watch it through, so much is going on. If you watch it through the second time, I feel like I can really, you know, see things that I didn't see before, you know?
Right.
It was really good. Like, I recommend that people go out and watch Saw X.
I think so, too. I think you guys need to rent it on digital. I think you need to go ahead and get yourself a physical copy. Absolutely. I ended up buying mine and everything just recently. So Yeah, we're not going to talk about my mistake that I made. Okay, fine.
I was dying. You might as well share.
Okay, so I'm the idiot who has been brought up since the 90s and early 2000s of old school ways of doing things, which you put the front of the disc with the logo facing forward and you play your disc. Me, who don't know anything about 2024-23 technology,
right,
decided to try doing the same thing and I thought something was wrong. Turns out I had to turn it upside down for it to play.
Yes.
And here I am looking on Google. I texted my good friend Matt from the UK. And all I got was a laughing baby emoji. Goes, yeah, mate, all you have to do is just pop it in and it should work. I'm like, really? Just like that? Yeah, mate, there shouldn't be anything wrong, mate. Funny. It should be good. Okay, I go on ahead, I pop it in. I'm like, it's still not working. You have the disc upside up. Yeah.
Right. Then, yeah.
So this was my first experiencing 4K for the first time because last thing I got was a PS4. So I upgraded for a PS5. I'm happy with it. But yeah, that's my little idiot.
Hey, it happened to me. When I first got my PS5, I did the same thing. I was putting the disc in the wrong way. I actually didn't realize that and made numbers to the PlayStation hotline. And we did that for at least got in contact with someone. We did that for 2 days and couldn't figure it out. And then finally, you know, talk to someone that finally said, how are you putting the disc in? And I was putting it in the wrong way and put in, they had me put in a CD, put it in, it played. Remember how you put that in? No, make sure it's facing a certain way. So I did that too, because my PlayStation 4 was the last thing I got. And with that, it's sitting down, you put it in, it's not standing up to where does the shiny side go out or does the, you know, so yeah. Right. Yeah.
It kind of looks like a dual disc on the way that they want you to put it in, which is very interesting.
Right.
But yeah, that was my little goof off.
That was hilarious. That was classic.
I used Google. I used Reddit. And Reddit was the one who also told me, too, that I need to put the disc upside down.
Okay.
And I'm like, nah, this can't be right. So that's when I read message Matt. That's but anyways, guys, that's going to be it as far as the show goes. Thank you for listening to my screw-ups, and I hope that you guys enjoyed this show.
But bye, Ross, guys.
I just want to say thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to do these reviews with you. And anyways,
I hope same that everyone... Thank you, John.
Thank
same
you.
To you.
Thank you.
Yes. Can wait.
So, and happy hump day and morning.
Happy hump day. Yes.
Happy whoop whoop. Okay. Bye-bye, guys. You're still here? It's over. Rossi and I are done. We finished the episode of Saw. There's literally nothing to talk about. What are you doing? What are you doing listening? Oh, yeah, that's right. Rossi and I are back because of the fact that we ended up finding out that there is an end credits scene at the end of Saw X. And wow, I was not expecting it. They actually marveled us, which is waiting until the end of the credits scene to actually do something with this. Yeah. But what did you think overall, Rossi, when you've seen this? Because I was shocked to see an end credits scene at the end of Saw.
Yeah, I was too. When you sent it to me, I was like, no way. And then, of course, you know, to have that little Easter egg in the movie. And John and I were talking about Henry because we wondered about Henry. Okay, well, you know, I remember you saying during our discussion that, you know, maybe Henry did get the surgery because her father was the original guy that came up with this sign.
Now.
So Henry, you know, now seeing that he was a part of it, you know, the scar was gone. Was exciting because we got to see the final puzzle. What did you think about
I was geeked out, to be honest with you. I did not expect us to see Henry again. And, you know, I was talking about the scar. Like, how do you fake a scar right? like that? You would really have to do surgery to do that. And then you see that he's hanging up on a meat hook, basically,
right.
in the same place that they right. had in the first film, which I yeah. thought was really cool that they put us back into where Jigsaw originally was at. Right. In the first film. But man, I definitely liked seeing Henry again, and then knowing that he winds up saying, "Please don't kill me." Well, that's the least of your problems that you should be right. worried about. And then you know something's going to be going on with one of the contraptions. That
right. Also, I want to mention, the detective. Because in the film, after, you know, John realizes that he's been tricked, he makes a phone call and he's on the phone with a detective. You don't know who it is. So you then see a scene where you see Amanda, where she appears, and you're like, Lisa, I was thinking, okay, well, was Amanda code work, you know, was that detective, you know, code work for Amanda? Then to get this extra nugget and to see, no, it was a detective. I'm not sure if he was from one of the earlier Saw movies, but he seems yeah. familiar. And so to see that, so that conversation comes together. There was a detective, and he was looking for Henry.
Right. And Hoffman was around back whenever he was basically his other apprentice that he had.
Okay.
Working beside him.
Okay.
Matter of fact. But I just thought it was really cool to see that.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. So now and the contraption that they have on Henry. It looks like it's one where it's going to tear his guts up, like his stomach open, and just going to eat him, you know,
it looks like a spider that's going to go inside his body and just tear up his insides. That's what it looks like. It looks like that creepy crawling kind of mechanism that he has. And you know what, though? I really wanted to see it play out.
Yeah, me too. That's the only thing is they don't show like it happening to him. They just get the contraption starts. And you just see it like what it's going to eventually do to his stomach. But I would love for them to just have completed that and just, you know, watch him get, you know, torn.
It is due.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just to go on record, Hoffman was actually on Saw 3 was whenever he got introduced.
Okay.
So it was the third one.
Okay.
But... you know, now we are getting another Saw movie coming out next year in September.
Really?
Yeah, we are getting another Saw movie. It's going to come out in September. So now we are going to go on and see Henry get his due. And maybe God knows how long of that flashback that we see of that.
Right.
Leading up to those events.
Right. Absolutely. So, yeah, I was just going to ask, do you think they're going to do another one because of the way that, you know, that extra scene was there, and now knowing that they are, I think that they should, because I'm pretty happy with Saw 6. I mean, like we discussed, everything came together. You know, we were wondering what else could they do? How many new games could they possibly have? And then when you watch Saw X, you're like, oh, okay. All right. It all came together. Great story, great movie. So I'm looking forward to the next one.
And same here. These movies are like jigsaw puzzles, pun intended. Yes. And you're trying to put these puzzles together. And every single time when you think you have one piece of the puzzle figured out, there's another one that they add to that puzzle.
Absolutely.
So I definitely like how I was able to predict a little bit of it in a sense, but also be glued into the fact that, you know, that they're doing something different. And I was not expecting the twists and turns within the movie itself. So I was happy with that.
Right. Also, I do want to say that, you know, with Henry, now we know that he was in that cancer group as a plant to find a patient, and he happened to find John, you know, and then when he comes back and he's talking about, oh, my life has changed, everything's good. And like John said, we were trying to figure out, but the scar was so real. And then in the extra, you know, Easter egg that they gave us at the, you know, during end credits, the scar is gone. So
he's like, where's your scar? Right.
Yeah. Where's your scar? So it actually was a plant. And it was kind of like what you and I discussed and maybe thought that it could have been that who Henry could have been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Guys, that's going to be our bonus episode at the end of this end credits scene. So this time we are officially finished reviewing Saw X. So go on ahead, rate us over on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you guys think. We just started this Patreon for you. And it's only a $5 tier. We're only starting off of a $5 tier, and then we're going to work our way up to other tiers. But right now, the intermission is only $5. You get commercial-free. Not only do you get commercial-free, but you also get shout-outs. You also get those kind of perks right now if you go ahead and go over to patreon.com/movielovers TV Lovers Unite. Over there, go on ahead and do that now. And always until next time, thank you again, Rossi, for joining me. Thanks, for this little bonus segment. You're very welcome. And guys, that's going to be it. Have a great and safe day driving your way to work. And always until next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas, guys.
And have a great and Merry Christmas. How rude of me. Have a happy and joyful Christmas on your way. All right. Later, guys. Bye.
This podcast is a production of Unfiltered Studios. If you would like to know more about joining Unfiltered Studios, please visit our website at unfpod.com for more information.
Movie lovers, unite!